Good morning. Can everyone online hear me, please? Respond in chat. Affirmative.
It's thumbs up.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. So I think we'll go ahead and get started. Good morning. Hopefully, everyone in the room can hear me as well. Awesome. Thank you. So, welcome to our presentation, Maximizing Insights with Complementary Reporting Tools for a Single Tenant Folio. This is very important because we did actually do a separate presentation on an ECS environment a few days ago, but we will be focusing on a single tenant folio system today. So, quick introduction. My name is Corey Hutchinson. I am the product manager for Panorama, and I stick my nose in all things folio reporting as well. So, and I'm here with my colleague Kathleen Moore. Do you want to introduce yourself as well?
Thanks, Corey. I'm Kathleen Moore, product owner for the List App and for FQM or Folio Query Machine.
So today's agenda, we'll do welcome introductions, which we've already done. We'll do a brief exploration of reporting options available. We'll then move into why we are here presenting Lists plus Panorama to be complete coverage of their reporting needs and do live demonstrations of both products. And also be doing looking ahead and take questions at any time. If you're online and you have questions, please feel free to put them in the chat. We will be monitoring those. And if you're in person, just raise your hand. This is intended to be a engaging conversation, informal presentation on the very last day at 9:30 in the morning. So congratulations. You've made it almost. So I'm going to go over the major reporting options. I did note and actually took count. There are several opportunities on reporting at WolfCon, so this is likely not the only presentation you've been in. There are two pre-conference workshops and at least seven sessions specifically about reporting, including this one. And then I've also noticed that many presentations are also including a reporting option as part of it, whether or not that's the main focus. So some of this may be repeat to you, but I do want to cover the options to set a baseline and kind of an understanding among us on why then we are recommending our tools for use. So I want to start with the reporting options within Folio. I should also note one more kind of caveat is that reporting has no one single source for reports. There are different types of reports. There are reports by different types of users. And so for right now, there is more of a suite of tools that allow you to find reporting and run reports within Folio and outside of Folio. So I'll start with the in-Folio reporting options. The first tool is in-app reports. These are reports within the app that a user can run the overdues report if you've run that within the user's app or the in-transit too long report within an inventory app. It is available to any Folio user with the correct permissions, of course, and comes within the Folio app. So notice that all these options, none of them have any additional costs because they are included within the Folio UI, and they are available to any user really, as long as they have the appropriate permissions. The strengths of in-app reports are that they're easy to use, but their weakness is that they are limited. There's only about 10 reports available, and they don't cover all basic needs of somewhat operational statistics. The other tool that you can use are individual apps, the kind where you can do search, filter, and export options. These are primarily in the acquisitions functions, but they're also in requests app, in the circulation log, and so forth. The again, strength, easy to use. Weakness, they're limited. Not all the fields are covered. And not every app allows you to export result lists in some sort of CSV file. For example, the inventory app does allow you to export, but only records in MARC format. And maybe if you just wanted a list, a literal list of records, you couldn't do that by CSV. The List app, which we will focus on again here in a little bit, does allow users to query Folio with user-defined criteria, which is also important. Some of the in-app reports have very limited options for customization, another weakness. But with the List app, you can define what criteria you are using to pull those records. And it does have export options and a very large export number, right? Like a million records. One and a quarter million limit. We can talk about use cases for going beyond that later. So some of the strengths are that you can, really it's user defined, it's completely customizable. It does support Folio data permissions, which is very important. So anyone who isn't supposed to see user data, for example, can therefore not query user data through the List app to get around those data permissions. It also, the queries persist once they're created, they can be shared or they can be private. Weaknesses are it's not fully developed yet, and not every data point, every record, every combination of records that you want to search is there yet. But caveat, Kathleen will talk about that later, so just a little bit. Bulk edit app, very similar to the List app, except with a different intent, of course, to do bulk edit updates of records, but they do use the same backend, the same query builder, and both actually are built on FQM to do that powerful Folio query machine tool that allows you to do your queries, which is also the last app. So the Folio query machine is an API that consolidates data from the different modules in real time. So this is also the benefit of FQM, which the List app and bulk edit rely on, is that it is pulling from Folio your real-time data. So there's no delay in the reporting options in what you're querying. There's no delay in your data. Okay. Any questions? All right. So, yes.
Okay, so we had a question asking about the List app. If you can export more than 1.25 million records, or if you can somehow like paginate it. Right now, the number of records is the maximum per list that is configurable by your hosting provider. We have it set as a default as 1.25 million records, but it can be changed and adjusted. Currently, the limitation is that you would have to adjust the query for your list to have a subset if you were to have a larger record set than that. So to create the list with less than 1.25 million records, and then you'd be able to export that subset. So I guess in a limited way, that is supported.
Okay. So next, I'll mention the reporting options outside Folio. So these are primarily third-party tools that interact with Folio to allow you to do reporting. The first tool is Panorama, which is a data visualization tool with automatic harvests of Folio. They are presented with Tableau as the user interface, and our intended audience is administrators, assessment librarians, anyone who is looking at analysis of data, looking at that bigger picture of data. It is included as part of the EBSCO Folio bundle, but it is not available to non-EBSCO Folio customers at this time. A second option is MetaDB. This is open source software, which creates a queryable separate database of Folio data by ingesting the messages within Folio to keep a current version of Folio near time. I say near time because there's always the caveat that if you do 50,000 record updates, it may take at least a few minutes to update MetaDB, but otherwise it's near real time. And then from there forward, once you've implemented MetaDB, it keeps versions as well. So it does allow you to query historical database, more akin to a data warehouse. The access is through the reporting app from Withinfolio or any third-party database tool that you may be comfortable with. Many people use DBeaver, or I know others have used Access. You can use just about anything you're comfortable with. I see the audience, and this is my opinion, more for systems librarians, technical librarians, because you do need to know basic database maintenance or management interaction. You do need to know SQL, and you do need to know the Folio data infrastructure. So you need to know where to query and how to query. It is included as part of Index Data's Folio bundle and is sold as an add-on to EBSCO Folio customers. And I should also mention it is the successor to the LDP software, which was retired in May and is from the Library Data Platform project. And lastly, I wanted to mention LD Lite. This is, I think, like the first product that came out of LDP, which is a very basic, very powerful open source software tool that uses Folio API calls to query data from Folio and parse it into tables that resemble MetaDB data structure. And then you can basically build your own database. It is accessible by a third-party access tool. You also need to be able to execute code. I believe it's written in Python, and very similarly, you need to use SQL and need to know Folio data infrastructure and database management. The only costs for using it are if you do store a very large database, it will not fit on your personal computer. If you query maybe 30 records, you should be good. But if you query your entire inventory every night, you might need server, and you would need staff to maintain that server and manage that interaction. But it too is very powerful, and it is open source. Any questions about these tools? Okay. So with this in mind, my thesis statement, essentially, our thesis statement, that we strive to meet the spectrum of reporting needs with lists and Panorama, in so forth that reporting needs generally fall into two categories. You're querying your data, and then you're analyzing your data. And so lists is about meeting that querying need with user-defined criteria and output. You're interacting with the database in real time without compromising the performance of your Folio system. And then Panorama is there to help you see it from that 35,000 feet view to look for patterns and insights to do analysis on your data. So to try to meet operational statistic needs and then also meet pattern recognition, looking for insights, and doing data-driven decision-making with Panorama. So again, that's our hope then, is that List plus Panorama equals the complete reporting spectrum. So with that, I am going to turn the panel over to Kathleen, who's going to talk specifically about the List app.
Thanks, Corey. So I'm going to do a brief overview of the List app, and once I talk about it for a few minutes, I'll go in and do a quick live demo just to show some of its current features. So the List app exists inside of Folio. It is part of Folio, and you can go in and make a list of records, just like what it sounds like. It's based on a query, which you can build in this user-friendly query builder. And when you save a list, that record set is persisted. However, the data within it is updated in real time. So like if you have a list of open loans, and after you make the list, a loan is closed, it would still exist in your open loans list. However, it would show the loan status of closed. If you wanted to rerun that query, you can refresh the list and it'll re-execute the query. And at that point, the record would drop off your list. So it has sort of the best of both, where you can have the static record set, but it will always show you the most current information for your records. So as Corey mentioned, the List app does have permission that are specific to it. So within the List app, there are multiple levels of permissions. So having access to the List app and being able to view lists, being able to create a list, being able to export a list, being able to delete a list. So there are multiple levels of permissions within the List app itself that you can set. In addition to that, it is based on content permissions. So whatever access you have to data in Folio, based on your existing permissions, is the content that you'll see within the List app. So if you don't have access to orders, like the Orders app, then you would not be able to see orders within the List app. So it enforces the permissions that you already have to see the various pieces of data. And so the combination of your List app permissions and your content permissions determines what you have access to see and do in the List app. It also does support Eureka roles. So it is fully integrated with Eureka, and the older versions of it use a copy-based permissions. So it is compatible with both of those. So in terms of what data the List app currently covers, this slide is just to give you an idea of the types of records that we currently have. So you can see in the Ramsons release, you know, it was a relatively small list of records that we had available. In Sunflower, we made quite a few more available, and we're also working on adding additional ones in Trillium. One thing I'll note is that with each release, even within these existing records, we're continuously adding new data points. So either as fields are added to existing record types in Folio, or if we you know, didn't have a point of data, we are trying to go back and continuously add data. And that is where having user feedback is extremely helpful, so that we can help prioritize what data to add next. But it is a huge goal to keep rapidly expanding the amount of data that you have access to within the List app. Also, just want to briefly talk about FQM, or the Folio Query Machine. So this is the, it's really the backend that is used for the List app. So it is the engine that, you know, takes in your query, it processes it, and provides results. It's taking data from all sorts of different modules within Folio in real time and putting that together. You are able to access FQM directly through the API, as long as you have permissions to that. And so, you know, if you are more technical and you enjoy using APIs, you can absolutely get at the same data through the APIs. So the Folio Query Machine, or FQM, is the back end. We use this Query Builder UI plugin for the front end. And so you'll see that in a moment. That's a shared component that can be used in any app within Folio. Currently, Bulk Edit and the List app use that, but it is available for use in other apps, as is FQM. It can be used by other apps. And the combination of those is what allow you to build a list within Folio. Another thing that I won't go too deep into, but we do have access to additional data through FQM APIs that are not visible in the List app. So a lot of times there are fields that are not helpful to humans wanting to create a list of records, but might be useful for querying. And so we still allow for those in the API for some of those more advanced queries, but we hide them in the List app UI to make it a less overwhelming list of fields that are available, but still try to maintain sort of a balance of the most information, but also useful and usable for users. I'm going to pause and see if there are any questions before I go into a quick demo.
So on the permissions, you said it's a combination of the ListApp permissions and the content permissions. Is that just for the person who builds the list, or would it also need to view? So if somebody with higher permissions builds a list that somebody else does not have the same content permission to view that list, or are they blocked from seeing that data?
Yep. Okay. So that's a great question. So the question is about the permissions. And if somebody with a higher set of permissions creates a list, and then a different user comes in with a different set of permissions, different content permissions, can they view that list? And so, no. So if the user who comes in, if they do not have the data permissions, so let's say, you know, if they don't have access to order data, then they would not be able to see a list of orders created by somebody else. If they did have access to the data and the list was a shared list, then they would be able to see it. So it is fully customized per user. And you have the ability to create a shared or a private list as well. Okay. I'm going to hop over to the snapshot environment to just do a quick demo showing some of the latest things that we have added. And so snapshot doesn't have a ton of data on it, but I just wanted to be able to do a quick demo showing, you know, records that we and fields that we have recently added. So I'm just going to make a loans list. Here in this record type dropdown, you can see, you know, there's a variety of record types that we have. So in this case, I'm going to choose loans. I'm going to click build query here. This is the shared UI component that I was mentioning, where you can choose a variety of fields. And so in this case, I'm just going to look for my loan status. The operators that are available are dependent on the field that you choose. And so these operators will change based on your field selection. And so in this case, I'm just going to choose my loan status is open. And I'm going to quickly test that query. So I can see here, I have four loans that are returned. And I can see, you know, various pieces of information if I scroll over to these columns. You also have the ability here to click on Show Columns, and we can customize this further. One thing that we have recently added, I'm just going to come in here and I'm going to, looks like we already have it. I'm going to come over and, sorry, I think I scrolled right past the field that I was looking for. I'm just trying to, there we go. Where we've got the patron group. So if I wanted to come back here and I wanted to limit this list of loans by the patron group, I can come in here and do that. And so if I wanted to, you know, I could do equals to have one, or if I wanted it to be not equal to a specific group, if I choose in, I can come in here and I can select multiple options. So like here, maybe I'll just choose graduate. And you can see here how that drops it down to two records. If I want to come in here and remove a query parameter, I can do that. And I can test my query again. Another piece that we have recently added is custom fields on users are now available within loans as of the Trillium release. And so in the snapshot environment this morning, I created a custom field about, I think it was called newsletter topics. So I can come in and I can choose this. This happens to be a multi-select field, but based on the type of custom field that you add, it'll change the available operators. And so here I can come in and I can choose a value. And let's see, I can't remember which record I added it to. Okay, so graduate news. And so we're going to see here that I have my one matching record. And I'm going to be able to see that user custom field that's available in my loan. And so that's where List becomes really powerful. As we add more data and different sources, it's putting together all of these different pieces of data that exist elsewhere in Folio, but it's really hard to find a list of loans by patient group or by user custom field or some of these other fields. And so it's really the ability to combine these records and create lists. So if I click run query and save here, what that'll do is that'll create my list. In this case, it'll only have my one record. Once that's done, I can click view updated list, so I'll be able to see my list. I can come in and I can add or remove more columns as well. I could come in and edit my list, and I can edit the query if I'd like to. I can duplicate it if I want to start with that same query on a new list. I can export the columns that I have visible or all of them. I could delete my list, or if I wanted to re-execute that query, I could refresh my list. I'm just going to quickly show one other type of querying that we have recently added. And this is going to be on purchase order lines. So I'm going to come into the record type purchase order lines with titles. I'm going to click build query. And I'm going to use the workflow status that comes from the purchase order. In this case, I'm just going to choose pending. And I'm going to test that query. And you're going to see I'm going to get a list of order lines that match that criteria. These order lines are associated with orders that are in the pending workflow status. I'm going to add a column here, and that's the fund distribution column. And so here I can see that I have a nested table within my row so that I can see information about the fund distribution. In the case there are multiple, you would see multiple rows nested within. And then within Trillium, we have started to add the ability to drill down into some of these nested fields so that you can query them. So in this case, I'm going to come down to my fund distribution code. And again, the operators will vary based on the field. In this case, I'm going to choose equals. And we'll choose US history, and we'll test this. And you can see now I only have two matching records. And so, you know, we're adding a lot of power and the ability to query different pieces of data. And so with each release, we're really working on not only expanding our coverage, but expanding what you can query on and various ways that you can query. I got a question here. So we had a question about custom fields on another room.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, there's a terrible noise here. Just wanted to make sure it wasn't me. Custom fields on, POs and POLs. I know that they are definitely available in the Trillium release. I believe they are also available in Sunflower, but I can go back and double check on that.
Got it.
Thank you, Corey.
When will the Boolean operators be able to be more than and?
So that's an excellent question. And I have a slide that I'll show in just a second of what's coming next. And so we're looking at adding that in Umbrella Leaf, being able to choose Boolean operators beyond and, because right now you're limited to and. You can get around that somewhat with using different operators. So like using in is going to give you the equivalent of like an OR for that one field. But we do understand the desire and need to have OR or NOT as available operators as well.
You have one question online, but it's about future development. So
okay,
I'll wait till like you maybe cover it near your next slide.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so when talking about what's coming next to the List app, so again, we're working on expanding that data coverage. We have recently built a tool to help us do that quicker so that we can get more data and more coverage added because we understand how important that is. We absolutely love to hear from you so that we can help prioritize, you know, what is the most essential to add next. One of the really excited things that we're actually working on right now is user-defined joins. And so what that is essentially creating a new record type that can be used to create a list from. And so the initial version of that will be API-based, where you can use these new APIs to create the joined record type. But then once it is created, you'll be able to access it in the List app. And so you'll have all of the current functionality. We do then plan to do an additional phase to add a UI to make that more accessible and more friendly to be able to define what those joins are. So as mentioned, the Boolean or NOT operators, being able to do queries based on things like relative dates. And then also we are already sort of talking about and looking at what it might like to be able to query and return MARC records. So that is something that we're also working on in the near future.
Did I cover the chat question or?
You did cover the chat question.
Okay. Anybody have?
There's more question.
There's a question online that says, my library uploaded cost records and statistics to EBSCO's usage consolidation, but we can't figure out how to download all our cost per use stats in bulk in Folio, and CPU seems to be completely missing from Panorama. It is. It'll be part of my presentation. Are there plans to make cost per use exportable in Folio and visible in Panorama? Is cost per use visible in MetaDB or LD Lite? I'm going to put this question on pause, Laurel, and we'll be sure to cover it as part of my presentation here shortly. Any more in-person questions or online questions?
I just want to make sure people know how to get involved also. There is a Bella working group, Bulk Edit List App working group. We meet on Zoom every other Tuesday, and we have a Slack channel. We would absolutely love people to attend, provide feedback. We run user acceptance testing, as well as, you know, we really value the feedback we get in that group. And so I would encourage people to attend and participate in that Slack channel or our meetings. And I see that we have a hand raised.
Yeah, hi. Good morning, everyone. My name is Sunita. I have a pretty question related to the actions on your build query. So in the actions, there's like plus sign where you can add actions, and there is a delete button. So if we accidentally delete something, can we retrieve it later, or will we be getting any message that are you okay to delete something like that to alert us?
Yeah, so if you were to choose delete, you will get a confirmation modal for it. It will disappear from the UI itself, but it is not actually a hard delete. So it is something that a hosting provider could help restore. We do also have a setting that I didn't show, but it allows you to make a list inactive. And so that will essentially hide it from your list of lists. But if you want to go back to it at a later time, you can make it active again, and then it'll appear. So that's another mechanism you can use.
That's great. And how much time is going to stay as inactive? Like, is there a time limit for?
No, there's no current time limit.
Okay, so this stay there. We can go anytime, just make it active.
Yes, that's correct.
Oh, thanks a lot for your reply. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for the question.
Thank you.
Kathleen, we have one online question and it's really good. So I think we should talk about it before you step down. Will it be possible to integrate your own apps that only exist locally? For example, apps created exclusively for an institution. Could you use the user-defined entity tools that you've built for any app? Or is it only like Folio core apps? Could it be a local app? I think that's what Stefan is asking.
I honestly, I am not totally sure on that. Because when you create it, it would be available in FQM. And so theoretically, anything that can access FQM or FQM APIs, it would be available too. So I guess theoretically, you could access it in another app or outside of Folio because FQM is fully accessible. Both within Folio as well as to external systems that want to be able to get into access Folio data.
Stefan, I don't know if that answers your question, but if not, this would be a great discussion for the Slack channel as well. And I do, oh, we have another question. Okay. We only have 10 minutes left, so I'm going to talk about Panorama quickly, and then we'll reopen the floor. Although I'm loving all these questions. Thank you. Just a few quick basics about Panorama. It is intended to be an analytics platform, a big picture view platform. It does have drill down capabilities, but our goal is to support data-driven decisions and insights using data visualization tools. In particular, we use Tableau as our front end, which comes with pluses and minuses. We harvest data from Folio nightly, Monday through Friday, automatically. So it is more of a snapshot than the real-time data access that you would get with the List app. And we do use API calls. And as part of the EBSCO Folio bundle, we do have some default dashboards that we provide that cover topics such as acquisition, circulation, collection development, and many more. And our goal is to be a little bit of the 80-20 rule. We try to cover maybe 80% right standard basic reports that everybody needs, number of checkouts, number of renewals, those types of situations, and then either allow for drill down to hit that 20% for customization through building your own dashboard using the data from within Panorama or by complementing it with queries that you can run in the List app. It's hard to meet 100% needs because if you're a librarian, you are probably individual and your library needs may not be the same as everyone else's. So we try to cover the basics, but be flexible where we can. So I'm going to jump straight into a quick just view. Nope. Kathleen doesn't need my permission. Log in. I'm going to go to our demo site. And because we use Tableau, it is a very basic Tableau interface. We are on a 2025 software upgrade. And so we do provide a lot of dashboards. I'm going to show just a few that we call our standard dashboards. In particular, to complement Kathleen's discussions, I want to talk about our circulation dashboards. So So we follow the same general template for all of our dashboards, where we try to, again, give that big picture view. The top of every dashboard has global filters here on the right side, where it always includes the date. So in this instance, when we're talking about circulation, these are transaction dates. You want to look at the number of transactions between a particular date, and it automatically defaults to the last year, but it can be changed to any date you like. We do then also provide some filters that apply to all of the charts that we provide on this dashboard for kind of the main use cases, main requested filters that we've gotten. So in this instance, we allow you to limit to patron group. We allow you to limit by material type. And in this instance, we also have year of publication. Following any global filters that are across the top, we usually have a quick KPI. So you can see in the last year, in this instance, there have been 906 checkouts, a bunch of check-ins, likely probably about 600 in-house use check-ins, which is coming to Panorama, and some renewals, followed by some charts with some basic metrics. In this instance, we've broken out data and metrics on checkouts and returns, about how long these loans on average are. We provide loans by publisher, loans by subject area, and I'm going to hit the NA giant elephant in the room here in a minute. So loans by subject, and we do apply basic default LC and Dewey subject class and classification lines based on the call number in your item. And then we break it out further again by subject classes. And at the very bottom, we do have it broken out by patron groups as well. So you can see that students account for about 82% of checkouts, and a majority of those are NAs, which reasonably is very annoying. What is NA? So NA is not applicable. It usually is applied when there is no value. So for example, for a publisher, if there is no publisher in your record because it is a brief record for a laptop that has no publisher, then it comes across as an NA. And the easiest way to figure that out, same as subject, right? You probably don't have a call number in your item record for a laptop or equipment, which is a high circulating item in many libraries. You can click on a piece, do some limits. I have a Explorer license. We do have to follow the Tableau licensing scheme. But notice when I do a click, there's a button icon that's hiding over here in the far corner called View Data. I can make this bigger. And we can look at the pieces. And this is the drill down of all of the pieces in the data that we are presenting to you. And you can look at some publishers. But in this instance, I want to go to Show Fields. And I want to pick item title. Go back. Oh, they don't have item titles. Oh, but these don't have patron groups. Anyway, they don't have subject areas. There are other ways to get at the data. You can see here they have no title. Why do they have no title? It could be that it's not properly coded in the mark. Maybe it doesn't use the right title field. Maybe it's been differently coded. But we do allow you to go deeper, and without knowing further about their data, I don't want to go too deep. And I'm probably almost out of time. So again, since we use Tableau, there are options where we do provide drill downs even further. We provide data circulation by, I want to reset, patron. We've gone even deeper, and we do have even deeper data than by subject. So you can similarly look at the material, the loans by type, students. You can actually then look at students by subject. Looks like, again, mostly NAs, but they also really like, what's this? Language and literature. That's not surprising. And then we have similar dashboards for other topics, such as requests. I presented this in our ECS presentation as well, as a good way to look at the requests from other institutions. But here you can see patron groups, faculty, their requests, how many are filled, how many are canceled, how many pick up expired, Why were they canceled? Patron canceled, change request type, and so forth, based on the cancellation reasons that you configure within Folio. So, and I'm out of time, but we have a lot of different options and we have a lot of different kind of basic standard reports that we try to provide and be available for our users. I'm going to talk real quickly about what's coming in Panorama. So my first point is improved and expanded documentation. Panorama has been remiss and opaque on our definitions, and I fully intend to correct that, and we're doing that every day. We've implemented we've rolled out a new product manual, and we're rolling out new data definitions and source details in our existing user manuals for each dashboard all the time. We just released some new data manuals for the ACRL reporting dashboard that we have that details exactly in Folio where we are getting this data and how we are presenting it, which is also part of an improved and transparent integration initiative with Folio. So again, how are we getting the data from Folio? How are we transforming it? And how are we displaying it so that it is clear and meets user expectations? And I'm working on a consortial support roadmap now that we have ECS in the Mobius environment, and we will be rolling it out soon for other institutions and other organizations. We are looking at how can Panorama support consortial reporting needs. And then we'll be also refreshing. Panorama has been around actually for about 5 years, and we've learned a lot of lessons. And so I'm very anxious to execute those lessons learned and to refresh our dashboards, improve and really expand where appropriate dashboards based on user feedback. I'm a big fan of user feedback. So, and you can always email me. And if you email your sales rep, they're going to email me anyway. So it's all good. I do want to get to the cost per use question. Panorama does not yet provide cost per use, and you can't do cost per use yet within the List app, but Panorama does provide usage consolidation data, the use data as part of the e-resource usage app, and you can download that data from Tableau. I'm interested in doing cost per use in Panorama, but it's a little bit more complicated. People store their cost data in different ways within Folio, outside Folio. Some people don't want to share their cost per use or cost data with EBSCO. So it's a complicated situation that I'm hoping that I will be able to have a informed discussion with users shortly. And Laurel, I would love to have your feedback there on how it would work best for your institution to implement. So questions. Thank you, Laurel. I see your thumbs up. Do we have online questions or in? We're at time, though, so if you do need to leave, we completely understand. But if you want to stay, we'll take a few more minutes for questions. And thank you for attending today if you do need to leave.
I think this touches on maybe something I saw pop up from a Zoom question as well.
Yes.
So Tableau. And some of us are not really allowed to use it. And so I understand that Panorama is built on the back of Tableau, but I'm being forced more and more to use Power BI to make sure that it matches what my institutional data department does, right? Yeah. And they want everything in Power BI. Folio is open source software. So the fact that we're tied to Tableau, which has a lot of costs associated with it and a lot of time invested in learning a product that I'm really not supposed to be using. Is there going to be a Power BI version of Panorama, but is there going to be something where, and Corey and I know each other from way back. So Shia knows that we also have MetaDB and we can make that feed into it, but it'd be nice someday not pay for MetaDB and to just have the List app and Panorama work with something like Power BI. And I'm sorry, there's supposed to be a question here, which is, are you ever going to maybe expand beyond Tableau to meet the needs of customers who really aren't really allowed to use Tableau?
Possibly. We are actively, my awesome team, we are actively looking at this issue, to be honest. Tableau is great, but it does have limitations, and you're not the first customer to note it. As
We try, so Panorama, we try to, it's kind of a curation service, but you know, every library is a little different. And so that's actually why I'm glad to see that we have so many tools, because sometimes for larger institutions that have more complex data, right? So if you have data where you have to add a custom data field to make a report useful, you know, I may not be able to make Panorama work for you, but that might be a case where LD Lite List is getting better with every flower release, or MetaDB, which is the maximum flexibility, but also requires, I think, the maximum knowledge. I think it depends on the user. I'd like to think in Panorama we'll get there. We're not there yet. So comment noted. That's all I can say right now. Just keep watching though, because you know me. And I'm stubborn and I will fix it. Other questions? Comments? Okay, well, thank you all again, and have a wonderful last day and safe travels home.
Lots of good claps.